We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Tony, you know me. It's funny.
Yeah.
I have been swinging, you know, just slightly a little bit each way each week. But we've had consistency, on the prosecution side, kind of swinging this way from what I'm watching. Because up to this point, it's been very behavioral based, because nothing's been really super conclusive on actual tangible data and evidence until this.
Yeah.
Now I don't know how they're going to come back.
Cause it feels like nothing's going to crack this over here. This is the data. This is the facts. Right. It's irrefutable. It is what it is.
It's not opinions anymore.
It's not. So anything that's going to happen over here is just noise. I mean, it really doesn't matter anymore. It matters where, if there was some bad police work going on here, sure, I'm glad that they fired Proctor.
Guaranteed.
But none of it affects this, though.
Right, and I think that's an important point to make is that, every time you and I talk about this case, we're talking about an element that we're just analyzing here and how this one element does impact the whole when we're going to a conclusion and the jury gets the case. But that doesn't mean that, policing, absolutely, that department's got major issues dealing with this. It did a lot of wrongness there, wholehearted wrongness there that I thought was wrong. And the level of just badness of people involved, the toxicity of people, the unhealthy relationships, everyone's drunk. I mean, all that crap, absolutely. But this is not opinion stuff. This is a very objective data point.
No matter what happens over here, it doesn't change the fact that she hit him with the Lexus. And nothing influences this.
It looked pretty conclusive to me.
It is this. I don't care if they're all a family that is wearing Karen Reed masks, sacrificing cats in the moonlight. It doesn't matter because the data still shows that she hit John O'Keefe based on.
We got to modify that.
Yeah.
I'm going to modify that.
Okay.
The data shows that, according to the great testimony, the data shows a Lexus like the one Karen owns at that time of night hit John O'Keefe.
That exact make and model. Yes.
And he died from a blunt impact on the back of his head.
Yes.
From lacerations, from being knocked down, the lacerations matched the positions of the of a Lexus that match Karen Reed. So now, what could defense do? Karen wasn't driving the car. It was a different Lexus.
I mean, I'm wondering.
Right.
That's what I halfway joke about. Like, Chloe jumped in and mauled John. Then she drove away in fear.
Albert came out and took over the Lexus and backed into her.
Yeah, I mean, too. Yeah.
See what I mean? So that's why I liked his testimony. His testimony, so what we can conclusively say within a huge reasonable doubt is that a Lexus matching Karen Reed's Lexus backed into John O'Keefe that night at that time and was the cause of his death.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
The reasonable doubt is it reasonable to think a different Lexus came and did it? And I think the answer to that is no. And that's where it's beyond a reasonable doubt.
That's why it'll be really interesting to see what defense does with that. And that's why I think you saw them all as a group kind of, you know, doing the babbity-babbity-ba because they had no idea what to say. I mean, there was literally, I think they're all in brain. I won't call it even word salad because you're asking me what the looks he was given was. Yeah. I think they were beyond word salad. I think they were in brain salad mode.
Yeah, I think they were ready to go find a drink, considering that seems to be their hobby. There's a little bit more to this, and I want to play it because it's only 60 seconds, but there's a lot that happens here. So let me just back it up a smidge. And
the data is what the data is, and it's going to come out cleanly, more cleanly, in our case in chief. I think it's important to demonstrate what is the Commonwealth accusing me of? The speed, the positioning, recreate that for us. Back up into the crash test dummy at 24.2 miles an hour in the arm and see what happens. That's what I would want to see if I were you.
Do you recall?
Karen, they kind of just...
showed that in the other case.
Yeah, they kind of just did that.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. I'm really interested, too, about John O'Keefe's parents and what they thought about that testimony at this point, too.
Yeah.
But, because again, I keep going back to the victims.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully that... Because, I mean, if I was the parent of someone who lost, you know, and I lost my child, I'd want to know what happened.
Yeah.
I think today was a good day for them.
And then you see this skipping out of court. It's a grand old day.
You know, it's, are they even paying attention to her at this point?
I don't know. I can't imagine being the parent and just seeing, like, what are you doing? I mean, like, why are you doing this? I mean, I don't expect her to walk on and go, oh, they got me. But have a little humility. I mean, it's not a great day to be doing this, Karen. Here's some follow-up questions that they asked, and I think they're very interesting in terms of the way they answered.
The crash test dummy at 24.2 miles an hour in the arm and see what happens. That's what I would want to see if I were you.
Do you recall that at all, Karen, though? Or recall that?
Because it didn't happen.
She's asked there. I don't know if you could hear it.
Do you recall that?
Do you recall that at all? No, because it didn't happen. So she just admitted she doesn't remember.
Even though she just told him to back up the vehicle into a crash test dummy at the same speed she's being accused of to see what would happen. But I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. And it didn't happen. Just I didn't do it. It didn't happen.
So what did happen?
Where is the data coming from, Karen?
Even though he just showed you what happened, you know, and your car said it. His cell phone said it.
And it's acknowledged it.
The body said it. I mean, literally, so you say you didn't do it, but his body injuries match that happening at that time from that's what people do when they struggle.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Here's one more thing on this. Take a listen and I'll repeat it too.
Any update on if you're calling Proctor, given that his friends are now witnesses on your list?
No comments. Derek, who are these four new witnesses? Can you say anything about them?
No comments.
Are you going to take the stand?
No comments.
No comments.
Sorry.
She really got a kick out of that one. No comments. Are you going to take the stand? I found that a little interesting. The laughing, joking of that moment. What do you make of that? Like, I don't know if she's like actually, like maybe they're contemplating that and that's why they think it's so silly.
I mean, when you watch her again, this, all the nonverbal experts are going to go down all these little micro expression roads with her, and that's fine. I just see her brain going into oh shit mode.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all it's doing. It's I think what happens is when you get to the no comment mode, when they hit no comment, they're on cognitive overload.
Yeah.
In other words, they have no words. They don't know what to say. They're not processing the questions fast enough, and it hits that point. And that's why her lawyer had to step in and say no comment to get her to shut up.
Finally,
because you know she's got her life arc and life reps are talk, keep talking. Just keep talking. It'll make it better if I just keep talking. And that's the mode and the default she goes into. So finally, her lawyer said no comment. And since she grabbed onto it, you know, good for her. But she had that deer in a headlight look when she did it, because she's like, and that's the fight or flight kicking in. That's literally when she went kind of like this. And so when her affect kind of hit a freeze frame.
Yeah.
Even though she's still moving, in other words, you saw a tempo shift in her.
Yeah.
You saw a cognitive tempo shift in the brain happening, and that's when she hit that overload spot. She's out of words, she's out of thoughts, and there's nothing more there. I think literally her brain just stopped at that point.
Yeah. I get, that's probably where she's got to be. I mean, the way that she is able to be so composed in the way that she has presented herself in this case through all of those interviews in court.
And 100%. And I'm sorry to interrupt,
no,
you know, but when I was watching the courtroom today, and even right there, the sense when people say, I got a sense of the courtroom energy or things like that, it's true. You do get a sense of these things, because what's happening is when someone delivers such really, really good data, good testimony, or good information, and you can feel the tangible, everyone's holding their breath because they're so fixated on what's being said. Because when you move away from opinions in the lower brain of the emotional brain, that's where all the chaos is always in. The emotional brain gets yanked around all the time by, oh, do I think this? Do I feel this? Do I feel this? But when someone is actually just goes to your thoughtful, deep thinking brain, That's what you felt that energy was. It was actually paying attention, because our emotions were no longer part of this. The entire courtroom, and even outside the courtroom, they are actually paying attention to the words being said, because those words were not emotional. Those words had actual data and meaning behind them. They're objective. They're thoughtful. And so there's no way to yank that emotional brain around anymore during that testimony. That's why the entire energy shifted to that deep pause. They're paying attention. Something, because that shifted. His testimony to me shifted the entire thing from the emotional brain to the cognitive thoughtful brain.
Yeah. And it was something to see.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.